Good morning. Welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine, and I'm here today with Stephen Blakeslee. He is the Health Promotion Specialist and the Interim Director of Clatsop County Department of Public Health. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
So I wanted to talk about health and that particularly nasty habit of cigarette smoking. So you have a really big job title. So will you break it down? Like, what do you do as a health promotion specialist? That sounds like a cheerleader for good lifestyle.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. As health promotion specialist, I really am focused on building a healthier Clatsop County. And looking at that multiple ways, from having a healthy lifestyle to also cutting out the unhealthier components or activities or behaviors that we have that lead to a less healthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, but specifically, that's really general.
So when I was first hired, specifically, I was working under two grants, the Tobacco Prevention Cessation, and also the, it's called Healthy Communities Grant, which is about getting, teaching people about self-management for their chronic conditions. It's about getting people to move more, to eat better. So it really doesn't, it is general, but it does cover a lot of ground there. So under Tobacco Prevention and Cessation, which is a under state statute, we have every county in Oregon has to have that. And we are all working on basically three areas in this, actually on both, under both grants, working to change policy, working to change systems, and also then working to change the environment. So an example of policy change we've all experienced going way back when I was young. I remember, and you probably remember, flying on airplanes and there was a smoking section. And now we can't smoke on airplanes anymore. And we used to, not too long ago, we used to be able to smoke in restaurants or in bars, and that's now changed.
So we can no longer do that.
Or the workplace as well. And so all that's changing. So that's all about changing policy. Currently where we are, Clatsop County is now one of five counties to have a very comprehensive tobacco-free campus policy. And actually, Clatsop County's is the most comprehensive tobacco-free policy of any county in the state of Oregon. Mm. And what that means is that there's no tobacco products or smoking allowed on any of the county properties.
So that means whether it's the road crew or at the health department, or at elections or the courthouse, anywhere where there's a county facility.
Correct.
There can't be smoking.
Yes, and it affects everyone, visitors and county workers alike. It's not picking anyone out of the crowd. It's protecting both people from secondhand smoke, which the Surgeon General has routinely discovered through many studies that there is no safe level of secondhand smoke. And the reason why these policy changes are important is that you look at the evidence and the data, and over the years that we've really done a great job of reducing the number of people who use tobacco. Say in the last 20 years, we've gone from 40% to nationwide, roughly a little over 20%.
And how are we in Clatsop County?
We're right around 22%, so we're not doing quite as well as some other places. Mm-hmm. California is doing exceptionally well. They're at about 12%.
Wow.
And they have much more comprehensive bans on tobacco usage there.
Huh. That's amazing. It's such a big and diverse state, you know, with large urban populations as well as rural populations and very isolated communities.
Right. I think that there's so much focus on helping people to quit that and to not promote tobacco use that's really been beneficial in helping them drive their numbers down. So that cut.
Okay, so that's the policy piece, and then the next piece is?
The next piece is about systems, and systems in terms of in terms of tobacco, we're looking at maybe how tobacco is taxed and where those tax dollars go. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're getting state funding for tobacco prevention dollars, but right now, House Bill 2870 is about to go through the Senate, and they're looking at allowing counties to put their own tax on tobacco, mm-hmm. which would then generate more revenue for the different counties. Now, 40% of that would have to be used for public health, of which most of that would also go towards prevention and cessation. Why is it's important is because the statistics show that about 70 or 80% of tobacco users actually want to quit. So, and
such a highly addictive substance.
That's right.
It's very difficult. But obviously, if we've gone from over 40% smoking to 20%, people can quit.
Absolutely. They can quit. And then the reason why a lot of these policies exist is so that fewer people actually start, or mm-hmm. that it helps them quit. Mm-hmm. So it's enabling a healthier choice.
Don't we know that if a person doesn't start by a certain age, they're very unlikely to ever start smoking?
Yes, that's absolutely true. So 90% of the tobacco users start mm-hmm. by the age of 18. Mm-hmm. 99% have started by the age of 26. That's why it's so important for our messages to really talk to the younger folks so that they don't get started in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So elementary school, middle school, high school, having programs in place.
Absolutely.
And that's part of the systems. And then what's the third part?
The environment, changing the environment. So an example of that would be, as a result of policy, for example, an environmental change would be the airplanes or the bars and restaurants that I mentioned earlier, where the tobacco use is no longer allowed.
And you know, smokers enjoy those places more as well.
Yeah,
yeah. It isn't just for non-smokers.
That's right.
I mean, everyone enjoys the benefit of a cleaner environment.
Yes, that's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what is happening with schools? I still see high school kids standing out, you know, in the place where they stand out, whatever, downtown Astoria, smoking cigarettes on the corner. So some kids are still starting.
Yeah, some kids are still starting, and to be honest with you, I don't really have a really great handle on that. And I think that we here in Clatsop County can do more to help with the whole systems that they're going through. So, for example, let's say that they're curious, they're starting out smoking, they're not addicted yet, and they get caught smoking. So, typically, what happens to them? Well, maybe they have to go to detention, or maybe they get suspended. But we know, and the educators, the administrations know, that that doesn't really help them in the long run, because we'd rather have them in class. We don't want them home,
right,
where they're, you know, possibly more likely to smoke in the first place. So that's an area where we need to create more help and assistance for our youth. And there aren't a lot of really good programs available right now, but we are looking into that, as are other counties.
It seems like when I've interacted with elementary kids, they're absolutely anti-smoking to the kid. And something happens in middle school and the beginning of high school for some kids where they lose that, you know, that innocent. That is the most revolting habit to, this is cool, I want to do it. And it seems like there's something needs to happen starting, I don't know, sixth, seventh grade. I don't know what it is.
I think a lot of that has to happen with us adults as role models. And a lot of the kids perhaps start because, you know, they're adolescents.
Their parents are smoking?
Yeah, or they're rebellious, and or their parents are smoking, and they start pursuing it for a variety of reasons. Yet I don't know that. Yeah, I don't know where I'm going with that.
Okay, so let's talk about what is happening in schools. What kinds of programs are there? It seemed to me that, oh God, I can't remember. In middle school, when my younger daughter was in middle school, whatever, 4 years ago, there was this big anti-smoking project, education. There was assemblies. There was a whole bunch of stuff. T-shirts. Cops came in. There was a whole bunch of stuff.
I don't work a lot with that, so that's not really my area of expertise. Okay. But in general, what we're talking about there are prevention activities, and they're not just designed for cigarettes or tobacco use. They're really designed about teaching kids to make the right choices, mm-hmm. and the right decisions, not how not to give in to peer pressure, mm-hmm. and how to really, you know, live healthier lifestyles. And tobacco is a piece of that. Mm-hmm. So for what the individual schools are doing, I'm not really close to that right now, so mm-hmm. I can't really say, but I think in general we need to do more with prevention activities.
Mm-hmm. With the statistics of 22% of Clatsop County residents smoking, is there a breakdown in those numbers?
Yeah, actually, the one of the parts that concerns me the most is that that's for adults. For 11th graders, we're at 26%. And you compare that to about, or 24%, sorry, and you compare that to about 16% in the state. And the same thing is we're higher with for 8th grade, and we're also higher with chewing tobacco. And then another statistic that I also find very disturbing is that we're also higher amongst in prenatal tobacco use. So we're looking at about 20% of mothers are expecting mothers are smoking, where we're looking at about 12% in the state.
Whoa, there's definitely work to be done.
There's a lot of work to be done, and it really has to happen at multiple levels. There's the pretty comprehensive questionnaires when people go in to see their doctors, and the doctors are asking if you're using tobacco, and I'm sure that all the providers are suggesting that that's the number one thing that they can do for the health, and if they're carrying a child, that's what number one thing that they can do for the health of their baby. Yet maybe we need to be better about offering the cessation activities.
Mm-hmm.
And cessation activities are really pretty available right now. There's a quit line that's free, and it's available to anyone. It's 1-800-QUIT-NOW, and it's about 6 months of help, and you get counseling sessions. You don't have to have insurance for that. If you are insured, every insurance company is mandated by state law to have a minimum of a $500 tobacco cessation plan within their policy.
So that could include classes, counseling, and if you wanted to have patches or gum or whatever. So
right.
It would pay for all that stuff.
Depends on the plan, but the patches of gum, otherwise known as nicotine replacement therapies, those are available through the quit line anyway, for anyone over 18. It becomes more problematic with people under 18. There are different programs. What we find what works best is a combination of counseling and these different therapies that they use with, like, nicotine patches and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that looking at the statistics on what helps people stop smoking is the number one help is doctors saying this would be a good change to make in your life. Take tobacco out.
Yeah, I've seen that, and I think also what really helps is having that supportive environment.
Absolutely.
And therefore, that's one of the reasons why we go back to looking at changing policy to create these tobacco-free areas.
Right, and the problem at home is if the spouse or the parents are smoking and you want to not be smoking, it's really hard.
Right, because those are the social cues that become really, really powerful. that we have to then overcome. It's almost more that's a psychological cue that's perhaps as strong as the nicotine craving.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about some studies that show what happens when people are not exposed to cigarette smoke, either primarily or secondary. This is To Your Health, and I'm talking with Stephen Blakeslee, the health promotion specialist and the interim director of Clatsop County Department of Public Health. We're back. You are listening to Your Health. I'm with Stephen Blakeslee, the health promotion specialist and the interim director of public health at Clatsop County. And we're talking about improving the health of people who live in Clatsop County. Okay, so I got some statistics of some studies that I thought were pretty remarkable. Mayo Clinic did a study looking at people in Minnesota that were enjoying a smoke-free environment, and they found a 33% drop in heart attack rates in one county after public smoking bans were enacted. That's pretty cool. And they were looking at 144,000 people, so it wasn't like it was five people that they were following. Pretty substantial study. The medical journal Circulation looked at 45 studies looking at populations in the U.S. and other countries, and they found that smoking bans dramatically reduced the number of people who were hospitalized for heart attacks, strokes, and respiratory diseases. They found that heart attack hospitalizations declined 15% after communities passed laws banning smoking in areas like restaurants, bars, and the workplace, and that hospital admissions for strokes went down by 16%, and respiratory disease like asthma went down 24%. That's kind of a no-brainer, you know, obviously with the direct smoke. So that is a pretty cool, I mean, very supportive of why you want to not be around cigarette smoke. And then the last one was in the British journal Lancet, which I think is the best medical journal in the world. They looked at populations of women and at what age they quit smoking, and they found that if women stopped smoking before, if they were smoking and they quit before the age of 40, they eliminated 90% of their increased risk of dying of the side effects of smoking. And if they quit before the age of 30, they eliminated 97% of the risk. And they recruited, the study recruited 1.3 million women. So they were looking at an enormous population. So we know that these programs improve our health. And for those of us that are involved with healthcare or health promotion, that's our business, is what can we do to improve health? And this is obviously a very simple thing. But Americans are not quitters. And when you ask someone to quit something, that raises their back. I'm not a quitter.
Yeah, and it raises their hackles up, and it also, for there are many people who feel that it's a personal choice, it's a right. And I've been thinking about this, and when I got into this position 3 years ago, I didn't know how I would feel about tobacco prevention education. I didn't really know that much about it. And as I looked into it more and more, just like these statistics that you just recited, it became very apparent just how incredibly powerful tobacco is on our health as a community overall, when it still remains the number one leading cause of preventable death in the United States. And we're looking at, you know, our health system being broken. So it's the one thing that we can do ourselves to really help ourselves out with our health overall.
And it doesn't really take anything. I mean, it really takes willpower. Even if you're using gum, patches, e-cigarettes, you still have to use your mind. It doesn't cost you dollars.
Right. In fact, you can save a lot of money over time. Yeah. A lot of money. I mean,
cigarettes have gotten very expensive.
Yeah, cigarettes have gotten very expensive. I think it's about a pack a day in Clatsop County. The average price is about $5.18 per pack. We're looking at close to $2,000 a year. So economically, it makes a lot of sense. That reminds me of another interesting statistic, too. In Clatsop County, annually, there's about $27 million spent annually on tobacco. That's a combination of lost productivity, people missing work because they're sick, they're not completely there, that maybe they're at work but they're not as productive as they could otherwise be, and then also direct medical costs. So that's $27 million a year, and we're all paying for that, whether we are smokers or not. So I get curious about why there are a lot of people that defend people's rights to smoke, saying, well, they're not bothering anybody and it is their right. And I have to look at that and say, well,
that's not true.
Is it? At what point does it become everybody's concern? At what point does it become a community concern? Mm-hmm. Certainly we have instituted other laws with public health, like seat belts,
helmets,
like getting vaccinations. So at some point, our own choices do impact others, and we do need to bear that in mind and really consider that and think about that. So I wouldn't argue that it's someone's right, even if they are only smoking in their own house. Perhaps it is impacting someone else, because later on down the road, when they do seek medical care, if they don't have insurance, or even if they do have insurance but they're going to have really high insurance bills, that their high insurance or their high medical costs are going to get passed on to others.
Well, you know, that reminds me that the new healthcare law restricts what the insurance company that you might want to buy insurance from can ask you. And one of the questions that they can ask you is if you're a smoker.
Yes.
They can't ask you any other questions about your health. So that's still allowed. And that means that you're going to pay more for your health insurance now, starting in January, if you're a smoker, which acknowledges that it does cost the whole system more money.
Correct. And I think you can also, they can also ask about your body weight, so your body mass index. Mm-hmm. So I just saw that on my wife's health insurance policy, where we answer a simple survey and they ask questions on your BMI as well as on tobacco use. And
In January that will not be allowed.
That will not be allowed. Okay.
Only your age, your sex, and where you live, and whether you're a smoker or not.
Okay.
Those are the questions that they will be able to ask.
Yeah.
Now I think they can ask anything. And, you know, of course, they all have that. If you have anything previously, even a simple nothing, you know, you can't have any care related to that for the next 6 months, which that will go away in January. They can't ask that whether you have any health condition. So the BMI will disappear.
Okay. Yeah, that's good to know. There's also incentives that the insurance companies are looking at where you will save perhaps $100 annually if you are a non-smoker.
That's not much of an incentive, considering the cost savings to them will be huge.
It's a start, though.
I guess it is.
Yeah.
It's acknowledging that there's a difference in the health of smokers and non-smokers.
Correct. Just very similar to auto insurance, where those of us that have more accidents than others, the costs are higher.
And that, as it should be.
Yeah.
Right. The bigger users, you would think, should pay more.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Although, there's the other thing, which is, just because you're sick, should you be penalized?
Correct. You know? But if the illness has become self-inflicted, then it's something else.
Right.
And that's the hard thing also about tobacco use, is that the illnesses don't, for the most part, don't start right away like they would with other harder drugs, perhaps, where you can get into a dangerous situation right away. It can take a decade or two or three before these symptoms are seen. And so we don't typically link them to the tobacco use as much.
I've had teenagers say, well, look, I'm fine. I've been smoking for a few years. See, my skin's good. And I said, wait, because I touch people all day long, and I can tell by touching a smoker's anywhere on their body, I know that they're a smoker. You get leathery skin.
Interesting.
I mean, and that's like a superficial sign.
Well, here's some other signs I'd like to share with you today. Within this information comes from the Center for Disease Control, and what they're promoting is that within 20 minutes of quitting, your body begins a series of changes that will continue for years. So after 20 minutes of quitting, your heart rate drops. After 12 hours of quitting, carbon monoxide levels in your blood drop to normal.
Mm.
2 weeks to 3 months after quitting, your heart attack risk begins to drop and your lung function begins to improve. 1 to 9 months after quitting, your coughing and shortness of breath decrease. And 1 year after quitting, your added risk of coronary heart disease is half that of a smoker's. And after 5 years of quitting, your stroke risk is reduced to that of a non-smoker 5 to 15 years after quitting. And after 10 years of quitting, your lung cancer death rate is about half that of a smoker's. So your risk of cancers in the mouth, throat, esophagus, bladder, kidney, and pancreas decreases. And then after 15 years of quitting, your risk of coronary heart disease is back to that of a non-smoker.
Wow. Well, and since coronary heart disease is the number one cause of death in the United States, that's an easy place to start.
Well, it's not an easy, it's a clear place to start, but right. It isn't easy. We do acknowledge that, but there is a lot of assistance out there.
That's good. Well, the helpline is great. There are also smoking cessation classes.
Yeah, we have a smoking cessation specialist here in Clatsop County at Columbia Memorial Hospital, and they offer classes there a couple times a year. And the more they get people signing up for them, the more they're able to offer them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. You know, one of the things you said before we went on the air was that we need to find things that we can do to improve our health, because our whole healthcare system is really broken.
Yeah, a lot of the direction that public health anyway right now is going is about managing our own care and not relying on a system to manage it for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we can learn to live better with chronic conditions by changing our habits, by changing our diet, by taking time for relaxation, by exercising more, by eating more fruits and vegetables and fewer foods that are highly processed. And socializing is an incredibly important component in our health. So getting out and just making note of this and being deliberate about how we're living our life and the changes that we want to see. And it's that type of self-management that's going to really enable our health to improve.
You sound like a natural health doctor. I mean, this is what chiropractors and naturopaths have been saying forever. It's funny that now it's becoming the mantra in the whole healthcare field, that we cannot be passive healthcare recipients. We all need to be actively involved with what we can do to make our health better. It costs less. The benefits far outweigh the inconvenience of being responsible. It just takes really doing some study and figuring out what isn't working, you know, and what do I need to change. And what do I need to keep doing? You know, if you have great relationships with people, but it all focuses around a bar and excessive drinking, maybe the people need to go somewhere else. Keep the people part, keep the good relationships, and move it to a healthier environment.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. There was an interesting study that I got a hold of where they were comparing neighborhoods in New York City. They had the same economic levels, the same profiles, mostly elderly living in these neighborhoods, and one neighborhood had a higher crime rate than the other one. That was the main difference.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, their access to food, everything was available, mm-hmm. but the crime rate was higher. And so what they found was that the elderly folks were dying at a much earlier age in one neighborhood than the other. And so the study, after looking into it, revealed that the reason why was that the folks that were living in the safer neighborhood felt more comfortable to go out and about and to socialize, to buy their fruits and vegetables, to hang out, go have a cup of coffee, and they had a social life, where in the more dangerous part section neighborhood, they felt more compelled to stay inside. They had less active interconnection with other people, and it's like they kind of lost their will to live and just kind of maybe gave up. And so they were living much shorter lives as a result of that.
That's so seems like such a minor difference, and yet what a major impact to die at in an earlier age because you're fearful of going outside, to developing all the things that happen when you feel free to move around. Because I think people in Clatsop County feel pretty safe wherever they live.
Right.
And so they are able to do that. Final words?
You know, it's all interconnected, I think, in how where we live, where we work, where we play is all very important in how it plays into our health. And so the better the environment that we can create collectively, where we can get out and play, where we're relaxed and having fun, the healthier that we're all going to be. And it doesn't need to be don't do this or don't do that, or you should eat this and not eat that. It's really about looking at the whole of your life and making, you know, positive choices.
That is great. My guest has been Stephen Blakesley, the Health Promotion Specialist and Interim Director of Public Health at Clatsop County. Thank you very much for being here.
Yeah, thanks, Sam, for having me.
I feel like we just barely touched the surface, but...
we're just getting started, aren't we?
Yeah, we're just getting started, so we'll have to do this again. Thank you very much. You've been listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine.